This is Who's Talking on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaber.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, La Mer Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Welcome, welcome all Wahoos and ACC sports fans. What a big night.
Hey, we won some games over the weekend.
You know, a lot of games, and it's amazing how many games were played by Wahoo teams this weekend.
You know, between soccer, basketball, and football.
Cross-country, volleyball, you name it. It was all going on.
A lot of action.
Wrestling team was wrestling in all kinds of places. First off, we want to point out that we have an excellent show tonight. We've got Brad Barnes, former UVA offensive tackle, played back there in the late 90s, 2000, and he was even a captain on the team. Overcame a bad back injury and was all ACC honorable mention. And it'll be a lot of fun to get his perspective tonight. In addition, our basketball guest is none other than who, Hobbo?
Mr. BP, Barry Parkhill. So we'll ask him to put on his basketball hat tonight as opposed to his development hat and get his assessment of the Who's first five games of the regular season. Certainly a disappointing loss last Monday night when we were doing our show from Fridays, but they certainly bounced back at the Charleston Classic and played the way I think most of us had expected Virginia to play this season. So some good signs from the hoops, and obviously some good news on the football side, although, my goodness, these guys have a way of making it interesting. You know, I finally thought we might relax a little bit with that 22-point lead going to the fourth quarter, and lo and behold, here again, we got to have a couple of defensive stops to preserve the victory.
Well, first things first. Wahoos came out on fire. Matt Johns had his best passing day as a Cavalier, racked up 300-and-some yards. Smoke Mizell came through again, three touchdowns, and over 100 yards of combined offense with rushing and receiving. Needs to hold on to the football. I would have named him the superstar of the century, but he dropped the ball twice. He cannot do that in this coming Saturday's game against the dreaded Hokies. Anyhow, Kanane Severin dinged up his shoulder, but he came back in the game, and then they didn't let him come back out. I'm a little concerned about number nine, clearly the best offensive weapon downfield for the Cavaliers.
So we have a little subject matter for Dr. Gordy Rawls later in the show.
We surely do, and we're excited that Gordy Rawls is going to be back with us tonight. Let's see. Virginia made two huge defensive stops in the last 3 minutes of the contest and kept Duke from getting in the end zone and preserving the eight-point margin of victory. 42-34.
I just wasn't happy with the offense in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Seemed like, you know, to use a basketball term, it almost like we went to the four-corner offense in football, you know, and really weren't aggressive in a situation where if you can convert a first down or two, you can put the game away and put a lot of pressure on the defense in a situation where, Lordy knows, it looked like Duke had all the momentum. And if they tie the game late, of course, they were down eight, so they would needed a touchdown and a two-point conversion. But certainly Virginia was – I'm sure the fans were a little nervous in Scott Stadium as the game came down to the last minute.
Clearly a nerve-wracking contest. I think the problem was Virginia was throwing everything but the kitchen sink at Duke for so much in that game that all of a sudden they had this 42-20 lead, and it's almost like – well, we don't want to make any more mistakes. No mistakes. and we're not going to take any chances.
Well, you're the football guy, but my question is, so much of the Virginia passing game is what I call safe passes.
Yeah.
You know, short passes where you're trying to get the ball to Mizell or whomever. You know, in that situation, I realize you don't want to have an incomplete pass because you don't want to stop the clock. But, you know, the short passing game is almost as safe as the running game late in the game, and it might – well, I don't know. I mean, it's easy to second guess,
well,
but still.
Yes and no. Here's the rub, Hobbo. After the two somewhat controversial, painful, and hard, you know, difficult contests that preceded this game, you know, at Louisville and Miami, you know, the players with the lead in the fourth quarter with 10, 11 minutes to go, you know, they're hanging on for dear life. You know, to break out of that kind of rut is hard.
Well, I think it's a mental thing, you're right. I mean, it's the expectation, and this is a team that has not been winning, so you almost play to avoid losing rather than to play to win.
Well, a lot of teams, when they climb back inside the shell and they go to that prevent defense, it almost becomes like the offense goes into the prevent offense, and the quarterback isn't going to throw the ball anywhere near a defensive
player. Tell me what happened. Did the Duke first-string quarterback get hurt, or did they just make a change?
No, they pulled Cirque out of the game and went with the other guy whose name I have a hard time pronouncing. Maybe it's Brame, maybe? Bame, or something like that. That guy can throw the football.
And because, I was going to say, he came in and played pretty well.
Because 12, once he came in the game, you know, I think he had some confidence after playing all of the last game when Cirque was out.
Mm-hmm.
So the coaches got a good look at him, and they said, well, you know, we need to change the tempo. Cirque wants to run some of the time, and when you get that far behind, you got to throw on every play. So, you know, you got to give Duke credit for not caving. You know, honestly, the team you've got to wonder about now, though, is Duke. I mean, Duke, they were a house on fire, and now...
Well, they lost to Miami, and that really turned their season around. You know, that last play...
Well, then Carolina blew
Carolina
them out,
just 60, hammered them.
66
yeah.
points, and they lost another game in there, and then all of a sudden they've lost to Virginia. They're 6-5, 3-4, and it wasn't that long ago that Duke was 3-1.
Well, Duke was certainly thinking about... a divisional championship and maybe playing in the ACC title game, and lo and behold, their season is headed south. But certainly Coach Cutliff has done a terrific job down there, and they'll be back next year. And
well, I'm gonna give Mike London you know, a small pat on the back, because Virginia's players, when the game was on the line late and the offense wasn't doing anything but punting, you know, that defense was bending and bending, and they gave up a couple plays. But you know what? When the other team got in the red zone or the near red zone, I tell you, everybody grabbed a man and they guarded him, and they, you know, they knocked down some passes. And, you know, my hat goes off to Will Wahi, and we're going to do the LeClaire Ryan play of the game right now.
Go for it. I still think he needs to change his name to Will Wahoo, though.
Well, I don't disagree with that idea, but you know, late in the contest, I want to say with maybe 10, 11 seconds to go in the game, it was fourth down, although the down marker on the side of the field said third down. And Duke probably thought for a few moments that they were getting robbed, but just before we bring Brad Barnes on the show, just want to say, you know, when Will Wahi covered that man on that pass over the middle and prevented a completion, and they ran out of downs for Duke, that was a huge play.
Oh, yeah.
And that gives the whole Virginia program something to smile about, feel good, and now they're going to have another good week of practice, and they're going to go into this Commonwealth Cup game, I think, with a positive attitude. All right, Brad, are you there?
I'm here, Frank.
Hey,
how are you?
Good timing. All right, we just did our LeClaire Ryan play of the game, and we have to give Will Wahi credit for playing good defense. And you know, he had three deflected passes in the game, and not many guys get to do that in a game, or some guys ever in a season. But
that's why they're in the secondary. They can't catch. They just knock it down.
Yeah, I just assume they always knock it down. You know, although Lattimore made a heck of an interception deep in the end zone on a long bomb and denied Thomas Cirk some glory early in the game. But all right, Brad, you've had the benefit of seeing this team play all season.
That's right.
And you know your football. You're you know, very knowledgeable, and clearly having played offense and been an offensive lineman, you understand how the offense works. Right now, the Virginia offense seems to be clicking pretty good, making up for the first half of the season. Do they have what it takes to win this game on Saturday at 12 noon against the dreaded Hokies?
First of all, I think so. I think so. So let me ask you that. And let me say hello to Jim. Jim, I hope you're doing all right. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Doing well. Thank you for joining us.
Heck, Jim tried to keep you off the show. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I bet. He doesn't like the football guys.
He doesn't want any football. Well, he just wants to have basketball.
Football guys are too smart for us basketball guys. That's what I discovered.
I could tell the excitement in his voice when I heard Barry Parkhill was going to be on the show tonight. So I know he likes the basketball guys. And then also, hey, what's up, all you Wahoo fans? Thanks for listening in, and thanks for bearing with us through this tough season. But, yeah, Frank, I think they can, and here's why. One, they've got a little momentum coming off this Duke game. I mean, the Duke team is probably a bowl-bound team. They're starting off the season very, very strong. So coming in on your second to last game of the year, I think that's fantastic to get that win, especially when you have a quarterback putting up 344 yards versus of offense in the air. It's fantastic. That's a lot of momentum going into the game. I think the second piece is it's the Hokies, right? So they're coming into town. It's the last game of the year. It's Beamer's last game. This is a game that we really need to win, and I think it's just really easy to get up to play the Hokies, especially at home, especially after Thanksgiving. And I think that plus the momentum, I think what I've seen from the team is that they really come together, and you could think, oh gosh, well, hey, everyone knows they're not going to a bowl game. But I think the younger guys really respect the seniors, and I think everybody's going to play really, really hard for the seniors. Because
you know, Brad, we were talking about that before we went on the air. You know, they're going to be some 5-7 teams that might go to bowls. You can say Virginia's not going to the bowl, but we're not absolutely sure. Maybe if they win the game Saturday, win their last two games based on Virginia's strength of schedule, maybe we'll be one of those teams that get a bid at 5-7. You never know.
You never know. I'll keep my fingers crossed from that. I'm trying to get through Saturday first. But
yeah,
let's win
Saturday. That's the most important thing. How would you assess the play of the offensive line? I know Frank has talked a lot this year about having to move guys around. They've had a lot of injuries on the offensive line. So what's your assessment of the way the O-line has played?
So I think there's two things that I saw at the offensive line on Saturday. One, you can't throw for 344 yards without having a lot of great protection. So I don't know the sack stats, but I don't think that he was under pressure very often, and I'm not sure if he even got sacked. So I think that's the first thing I saw of the offensive line. I think the second thing that I saw out of the offensive line was they really seemed to be running a little bit more outside zone, and so they're moving that defense. And when you have a defense like Duke that's locked up man up, if you can get some good blocks out of the receivers, and then you can also get that whole defense moving to the right, and then you get it in the hands of not only Mizell but the other great backs that racked up a lot of yards, you can really get some running yards. And I think if you can establish that running game, get good protection, then you can obviously, as you see, you can open up the passing game. So I thought the offensive line did a heck of a job on Saturday.
All right. With that said, we all know that the front seven for the Hokies is better than Duke's.
That's right.
And Duke had some guys that were hurt. That linebacker that led the team in tackles did not play on Saturday, thank goodness. You know, Virginia Tech, well, they'll use, you know, gauze, 3-in-1 oil, you know, duct tape, gorilla tape. You know, every single guy is going to be out there, and they're going to, you know, try to hit us with those lunch pails. So what's the game plan there? And will Fairchild and Dave Borbley, will they use – maybe more jumbo packages to try to get more beef out there in front of the quarterback and the running backs, or will they spread them out and try to put Tech in an awkward position of having to guard the whole field?
I think what I hope happens, Frank, is what happened a little bit on Saturday. So Coach London offered up Fairchild, hey, open it up, let loose, let's run some good plays. And I think if we go in there and we try to establish the run game before we start throwing the ball and we don't mix it up, I think we're going to be in for a little bit of a surprise. So I think the first thing we need to do is get out there and mix it up, like throw a lot of those short passes. I know, Jim, you don't like those, but throw a lot of those short passes, move the ball down the field so that we can open it up a little bit for the run game. And then once you do those two things, then you can start to continue to mix it up. But the one thing we've got to do, I said this the first time I was on the show, we've got to continue to be aggressive. We literally have nothing to lose. We have to open up that offense, and we've got to go for gold and go for the end zone. And to Jim, your point earlier, we can't have these lapses where we start to take the foot off the brakes and really slow down and play that four corners offense basketball style in the fourth quarter, because we've gotten in trouble a lot this year by doing that. So I think we've got to open it up and really mix it up with the run and the pass early and often to keep the Hokies on their toes, because you're right, they're solid defense, especially the front seven.
All right, I just found a stat for you. Rushing defense, surprisingly, Virginia Tech ranks ninth in the ACC. Go figure, giving up 165.8 yards a game. So even though UVA's rush offense is ranked, yikes, number 12.
How many teams are there?
There's 14.
Okay. We're not last. That's good.
So, Virginia's averaging 133 yards a game on the ground. Heck, if Virginia gets 133 yards to 150 yards in the game and keeps the Hokies a little off balance, with all the receivers Virginia has and Smoke in the flat over here and, you know, Olamide Zaccheaus running that jet sweep and T.J. Thorpe running down the field like a Tar Heel knows how to.
Yeah, but a swing pass or a screen is considered passing yardage, even though it's pretty close to a run.
I know, but they're going to flood that, Hobbo. Trust me, Bud Foster's going to try to take that little dump pass away. You're going to have to burn them deep the way Air Buddy Aaron Brooks and Matt Schaub used to. You got to burn them. You got to hit them with the vertical pass.
The home run ball.
All right, we got to go to break. We're going to carry you over the break, Brad. Hang on, okay?
All right, great. Thanks, Frank.
Stay with us, Wahoos.